Welcome to the Wellness Sherpa podcast, where we engage with passionate leaders, holistic thinkers, and disruptors who courageously share their personal journey, mission, and wisdom with you. Together, we create a safe space to empower you to live your best, most vital life. Thanks for being here.
So welcome, everyone. I'm so excited to have Cindy Kennedy with me today. Cindy is like a soul sister. We both have this mentality of accountability and metrics and getting stuff done. And it's one of the things that I absolutely adore about her. And Cindy is the co-founder of the Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health with Dr. Nasha Winters. And I look at her as kind of the brain behind the machine, with keeping things going and moving the needle. And Cindy has how many years of tech background?
Yeah, about 30.
30 years of background in the tech industry. And I'm going to let you introduce a little bit more about your background, Cindy, but I'm so thrilled to have you here. So thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And we are like soul sisters. I'm not used to being on the front though. You know, Nasha usually does this and is out there. So, you know, I'm usually behind the scenes just doing things to continue to move this mission along. But, you know, I really got into this because of my own health diagnosis about 10 years ago. And really before that, about 15 years ago, I started suffering from some health issues and, you know, did all of the things and then got to the point where I realized that all of these things weren't actually fixing anything. And I continued to just suffer from health challenges and along the way, you know, learned a lot and got to the point where I was like, you know, things need to be fixed. Our system is pretty broken and people are really sick. And they need help. And so that's what got me here today.
So what are a couple of your biggest learnings from, and you know, we'll use the term standard of care, from the standard of care and what you were personally experiencing in your own health journey that are some of the biggest takeaways that we could do differently?
Oh, geez, I could go on forever. I could also get angry, passionate, all of the things, but I will say that it's a really, really, really big system. And when systems get too big and there's a lot of entities at play, and you're talking about insurance companies and institutions, then it becomes really slow. And research and doctors are progressing at a much faster pace than the industry is. So what we can learn about people's health today, and a lot of that is, you know, thanks to technology, thanks to for the ability for researchers and doctors and scientists to leverage technology, and thankfully for patients that are willing to come forward and say, hey, look, I'll test this on myself because it could be something small. And we can collect that data, we can understand that data, we can analyze that data. We are leaps and bounds ahead of where the doctors that are providing general care today have any knowledge or understanding of. And even if they do have knowledge or understanding, they might not be able to practice that because it's not approved by insurance and the regulatory bodies. And so they're limited in the care that they can provide to each and every person that they work with every single day.
Right. And I mean, I totally agree. And, you know, I think you've done this, I've done this, so many of us have done this, is we get some kind of diagnosis, and then it's literally the army crawl to find what are some therapies that are actually going to help heal our bodies versus treat symptoms or potentially even make us worse, right? When I look at, you know, what I went through, which was cancer, standard of care is pretty abysmal, right? It you know, and I had this knowing going through it that, you know, I had an immune system issue. If my immune system were strong and functioning, then cancer would not have, you know, collected in my body and everything else. And that the standard of care was not offering anything to further improve my immune system. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what NTIH is doing to help others in not having to do the army crawl, to create some options, some pathways for people that are known and true and tested, and what folks can do to help build up their immune system?
Oh, yeah. Loaded question. So many different things. Well, you know, one of the things that is just really my passion is that everybody understands what health is and that they are empowered if they choose and want to do something about that. You know, you hear a lot that, well, you know, we can't really tell people to do diet because they won't be compliant. Well, I think some people, you know, might not, you know, it either doesn't fit into their schedule. You know, there's something else going on. There's just some challenges that they need to work through in order to make that happen. But we need to give people the choice and the understanding first, that there are options. And this education component is the most critical component. So we started originally 3 and a half years ago, educating clinicians. There's MDs, NDs, DOs, you know, all different types of clinicians, doesn't matter what school you went to. We created this mastermind group. And the beautiful thing about this group is they are all in it together and they do case studies. They look at, they can bring each of their knowledge and understanding of cancer or, you know, just disease in general to the table and look at cases from an objective standpoint, taking out of the picture what school of medicine you went to, right? It's all about the patient and all about the knowledge, and they're all learning from each other. So we created this program, which is a clinician training program. It's a year-long program. And then after that, they're in the mastermind group and they're all working on patients together. And it's a really, really diverse look of how and why did somebody go into the cancering process. And this group does primarily focus on cancer, although we will expand beyond that. But when we look at cancer, you know, 6 people could have the exact same diagnosis as you and 6 different reasons for getting it. So why are we giving everybody the same treatments? Because that's where we get the average. The outcomes are the average. You know, if you give 6 people the same treatment, may work for 3 and not for 3. And then that becomes our average. Well, we're trying to make it work for all 6. So we've got to look at everybody individually. After the clinician program, we started an advocate program really to support the patients and the clinicians to be able to implement all of the things. And that advocate program is anything from health coaches to nurses. And we are in the process now of creating a patient and just everyday person education program to empower individuals to understand really how to look at their own health and assess their own health. You know, we put something on Facebook the other day about what causes cancer, and it got a pretty agitated reaction. You know, hey, don't patient shame, which was not at all the intention of the post. It was just to say that environmental influences can give us cancer. And if people know that, they might make different decisions. You know, we just really want to bring that awareness out there and give people the opportunity to slowly learn. I'm sure you see it all the time. You're out to dinner with your friends and you mention something and they're like, wait, what? That can make you sick? You know, people don't know.
Right. So
education is really, really important for us. When we start talking about the immune system, there are so many components to it. You know, is your immune system weak because your microbiome is weak? And it's kind of this, you know, that symbiotic relationship between the immune system and the microbiome, what needs to be done there? Or is it just that your body is not reacting as well? Your bone marrow is not producing immune cells. Are you constantly on antibiotics? You know, some really, really simple things that can be done. You know, I know a lot of women suffer from chronic UTIs and they get on this cycle of antibiotics. Well, what can you do about that? What if you took vitamin C every hour on the hour for 24 hours and some D-mannose, you know, just some simple natural products and knocked that out, you know, and let your body start to learn that it can do it itself. And that's really what, you know, ultimately would be the best, is if we could all get back to innately healing ourselves. But we haven't done it for so long, or a lot of us haven't done it for so long, that our body's just kind of like a passenger in the healing process, you know? And so, you know,
almost like a witness in many cases, right?
Yeah. And you know, I love, if anybody listens to Bruce Lipton, I love Bruce Lipton's analogy of, we really trained the subconscious at a very young age. You know, we get sick, doctor, mom's frantic. Oh, I've got to take you to the doctor, you know, runs you into the doctor. Doctor kind of pats you on the back, says, oh, you're going to be okay. Gives you some medicine. Mom calms down, and all of a sudden your fever is gone. And your subconscious is now programmed that that doctor healed you and made your mom feel better. Right. And then we carry that with us through life. And so our brain, our cells are like, okay, I guess I just hang out.
Yeah. And I, you know, that's such an important topic, because I feel like education, providing the accurate resources, because there is a lot of misinformation out there. So that's a piece of it, but also it's changing our mindset. You know, I meet so many people who've been so conditioned of, oh, I have a headache, let me take an aspirin, and 20 minutes later, my headache's gone.
Right.
But don't really understand, well, what's causing these headaches? I'm getting 2 to 3 a week. I'm getting these migraines. Why am I getting them? What's out of balance in my body? Right. And all of the, you know, the Western pharmaceuticals are really designed as a single point focus to address a symptom, not really fix the cause of it. And I think, so it's not just providing the education, the resource, but also helping to shift the mindset.
Yeah.
Because when you use natural medicines, you need to be consistent. And you need to, you know, make sure that you, you know, like you said, like taking vitamin C every hour on the hour for 24 hours, and then you've, you know, healed what's some, you know, acidic response in the body, you get what's out of balance, right? And so it's consistency is a huge, huge piece of natural medicine. And then also trusting that the reason that it takes time often is because you're healing the out of balance.
Right.
A lot of herbs and a lot of natural medicines will come into the body, and they have the intelligence to go in and say, okay, you've got a super high acidic body. Let's get that back into balance. Right.
Right. And
that's something else I think is part of that mindset shift that, you know, we've been just so conditioned that take a pill and everything gets resolved. Oh, my acid reflux went away. I took an amoebrazole. You know, it didn't go away. You just further suppress acid in your gut, which you're already short of, by the way.
Right. And you've just then downgraded your immune system as well. You know, that suppression of the immune system is such a huge problem. And, you know, it's our body's ability to innately heal itself. And from my perspective, like, generationally, we need to fix this, because generationally, we have been conditioned by our parents and, you know, grandparents that we have to suppress these fevers. Oh, no, you know, Cindy has a fever, we need to suppress it. You know, it's scary. And now I'm teaching my children and their children to let their fevers go. Don't let it, you know, don't suppress it. Let it go. Keep it going. It's going to help them. They'll get through it much quicker. They're so young. And my two youngest grandchildren have had fevers. One of them's 2.5 and the other one's 7 months. And they champion right through it. They run a fever for a couple of hours and they are so good, but because that they've never had it suppressed. And that's what we need to do. If we can start educating our grandchildren, we can start to turn this health crisis around.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a fever is the body's natural way of healing, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's another really good immune trick. So when I got COVID, because my immune system is, I was that kid, I think I did the math one time before 30 years old, I'd done the math that I'd been on over 200 antibiotics.
Wow.
Totally destroyed immune system. I've done everything in the world to try to rebuild my gut. I'm still not there. It'll just be a continuous thing. But when I got COVID back in 2020, December of 2020, I took a hot bath 3 times a day. just to spike my fever, just to get my fever up. I felt terrible, but I took a really hot bath 3 times a day for 4 days in a row. So people always say, oh, how was COVID for you? And I'm like, well, it was terrible. But a lot of it was terrible because I was making it terrible. Right. And then I got to the point where I was like, oh, okay, I'm miserable. My body aches. I've been running a fever of 103 for 4 days. I can't take this. What did I do? I got a cold bath.
Yeah.
You know? But I took the opportunity to induce that fever so that I continue to build those immune cells to make my immune system stronger for the next time I got COVID or the next time I got sick.
Right.
Little things like that that we can do.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about the individualized care and what you promoted at MTIH, which is Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health. I don't think I spelled that out before. So just make sure everybody knows what that is.
Yeah, Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health. And for easy finding us, mtih.org.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, so, you know, each one of our practitioners that come through our program get trained in this approach of assessing the terrain, which is the entire body. Dr. Nasha Winters, who wrote The Metabolic Approach to Cancer, has a terrain 10 approach to assessing the metabolic or assessing the entire terrain. So immune system, inflammation, microbiome, blood sugar balance, now I'm going to lose it, mental, emotional stress. We have this entire assessment. So kind of back to your point earlier about, you know, we just don't know what's going on. A lot of people will say, oh, I was healthy until I got cancer. Well, you weren't. And because it just doesn't work that way, right? It's not like catching a virus.
Right. So, yeah. Or they feel great. I often hear that is, oh, no, I feel great. How could I possibly have cancer?
Right. And, you know, we know that cancer takes anywhere from 5 to 10 years to grow. Right. So I would say within the last couple of years, we are now seeing a lot of these turbo cancers kind of pop up. But prior to that, you know, really 5 to 10 years to grow. And people don't understand anymore. They're not listening, you know, to their body and don't know how to listen to their body and don't even know they have symptoms and that these are symptoms. Some people have had these symptoms their entire life and really see this a lot in the colon cancer world where people are just used to feeling bloated or going to the bathroom 20 times a day. You know, they don't really see these as symptoms because they've become so normal. So the first thing we do is just start off with like a symptom survey. It's called the Terrain 10, but it's going through all 10 of those and just asking some of the basic questions. And we start there with just that, all right, we're just trying to understand what symptoms you've had. And then from there, we look at all of their lab work and determine which of those Terrain 10 buckets is the most problematic for that person. Because if they've got massive problems with their immune system, and now you're giving a therapy that's going to destroy their immune system, well, that's really not going to be beneficial. What we need to do is we need to focus on the immune system because the immune system has the ability to produce cells that will fight cancer. So we need to build that immune system up, focus on that, get that strong, and then look at some of the other areas. And some of the first things that we always do is we also, in conjunction, work on blood sugar balance. Because when cells are metabolically flexible, meaning that they can go between glucose and ketones, then you are less likely for them to continue to be deranged. And so we try to get out of that state where they're so glucose dependent that they don't have that metabolic flexibility.
And so does that mean they're going in and out of ketosis, or do they stay in ketosis? Because I get that question a lot. Isn't it dangerous to be in ketosis for a long period of time? So can you share a little bit more about that? And then I want to come back to being connected to our bodies, because I think that's such an important piece to the puzzle.
No, I mean, you can stay in ketosis for the rest of your life. That comes down to where you're at and individually really looking at you and what matters. You know, what are you trying to solve for? You know, one of the things that we are very, very kind of dogmatic about in our education for patients is one, there's no remission, right? You don't go into remission. Our body is our cells, everything is muscle memory. Once you got cancer, once you can always get it. So the safety and security around remission is really dangerous. And if we think of cancer more like a chronic disease that you're going to manage for the rest of your life, then that's going to set you up for a much longer road. And it also is like, not like you're not thinking of cancer as, oh my gosh, it's this deadly thing that's going to kill me. No, right. It's a chronic disease, just like diabetes or Hashimoto's or any other chronic disease. And I can live with it for the rest of my life, and I can die with it, not because of it.
Right.
And so that whole aspect of, you know, oh, I'm just going to do ketosis and then my cancer is gone and then I'm not going to do it anymore.
And I'm going to go back to my old lifestyle, right?
You're going to go back to your old lifestyle. So, you know, likely it's something that's going to need to be a part of your life for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I go back talking about this connection to the body, I mean, I was the, you know, I was in corporate for many, many years. I would fly from North Carolina to California. I would land, I would go right to the closest Whole Foods. I would go load up on vegetables and some berries and some, you know, coconut yogurts with no sugar in them. And I would scoop all that up. I'd take it to my hotel. And I mean, I ate healthy and I was the one getting up at 6 a.m. working out before coming into the office. So when I got cancer, all of my colleagues were freaked out. It's like, how did you, of all people, like, you know, I was not eating the crappy food that everybody was eating in the meetings and things like right. that. I was bringing some food, but I had lymph nodes the size of golf balls, totally shut down. Right. I was like, oh, that's fine. Whatever. I was diagnosed with mono. My doctor said, you need to take 3 months off. I was like, not going to happen. I got too much going on my plate. Right. So stress off the chart. Pile it on, sitting under fluorescent lights, sitting at a desk all day long, and then going out to dinner late at night, 9 or 10 at night, right? Sleeping 5 hours, 4 hours. You know, I look at it and I'm like, there were so many components and red flags that my body, I just overrode it.
Yeah.
Because something intrinsically, what's that?
The miracle would be if you didn't get cancer.
Right. Right. I mean, and something intrinsically in me, and you know, this is where that emotional piece comes in. Like for me, I had something in me that I wasn't worthy. And I remember years ago, somebody saying, what are you trying to prove, Jennifer? Why are you working all these hours? Why are you doing all this stuff? And I'm like, because I want to do a good job, right? No, it's because something in me was driving me past all the signals that my body was throwing at me. Like, stop, slow down, take a break. That just kept overriding that, right? And I think that's such a critical component of the healing process, is getting back in touch with our own bodies and recognizing the signs. Oh, I've had diarrhea for 20 years. Maybe there's been a problem. But like you said, we normalize it, right?
Yeah.
And so we shut it down. We shut down those signals. And I think part of the healing journey is reconnecting with our bodies and saying, oh, wait a minute. Okay, now I know when my body gets stressed, I feel it. And I literally will be like, okay, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock tonight. You know?
Yeah.
And so it's recognizing it and then giving our bodies what they need. Or, hey, maybe I need to take more vitamin C because I've been around a bunch of sick people and I'm feeling, you know, kind of low energy and everything else. It's doing those things and recognizing it and then taking action on it.
Yeah. And I think that's such a critical component. We don't give ourselves enough space. We really don't.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I were in the same boat, like, you know, just constantly traveling for work, executives going all over the place. Not only are we, you know, when I did my tox panel, my airplane diesel fuel was in the 99th percentile ever tested. That means, and for those of you, you know, for those of your audience who don't know, you can actually just pee on a stick, send that into a lab, and it detects chemicals that you are peeing out. And my diesel fuel, jet diesel fuel, was through the roof. We sit on these planes, we sit on the tarmac, and our body is taking it all in. You know, it's like, pile that on top of it. I'm sure you had a ton of that going on.
Oh, right?
Just like destroying your immune system. I mean, it's destroying everything. It's in your cells. It's everywhere. But that, you know, I've got to do more. 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 And the more you do, the more you have to stop listening to your body, right. You know, and I'm the same now. I'm very, unapologetic about my morning routine, about me taking care of myself, about not working those late hours, because if I'm not here, then what good am I to anybody, right. You know? And I have gotten to the point now where I talk to my body a lot and tell my body how much I love it, because I think I was very disrespectful to this vessel. You know, I looked at everything that the vessel wasn't doing for me, or wasn't perfect, or wasn't feeling like, you know, I fit into society because of, you know, this or that, or, you know, oh, I, you know, I need to look like this, or I need to feel like this. And even to the point with, you know, where sports and doing those things, you know, really rough on my body, you know, ended up with herniated discs and, you know, all kinds of just mechanical issues because I was so hard on it. And so I've gotten to really this place where I really love my body and I talk to it. And, you know, I try to make sure that we understand we're all here together and how can we, you know, nurture each other.
Yeah. And I think that's just so beautiful because we're mostly water, right? And water is fluid. And the messages that we're giving our body are what are going to be running through our system. And so many people, when they get diagnosed with something serious or chronic, the first response is, oh, my body failed me. And I'm thinking, no, your body just saved you because your body has been telling you that you're out of balance. Yeah. And so be grateful. Hey. Thank your body. Like, hello, right?
And yeah, I'm over here. Don't forget about me.
Yes.
With you on this journey, I go wherever your mind goes. Where your mind goes, I'm following you. And I'm just asking you to give me a little bit of a break.
Yeah, cut me a break here. And, you know, it's not lost on me that we are human beings, not human doings. And yet we, you know, we focus on the doing. It's getting stuff done. It's checking the box. It's all of that, which is great, but you've got to be in balance. Right? We've got to balance the being and the doing. And I think, you know, a lot of the healing journey is transcending these old belief systems. And that's something that Bruce Lipton is fabulous with what he talked about. And same thing with Dr. Joe Dispenza, that, you know, I grew up in a family where I was told, don't be selfish, right? Selfish meant self-care. Well, if there's nothing in my tank, then I can't really give anything. And to your point, if I'm not here, then I'm no use to anybody. And right. It's rewiring those thought processes that, no, I have to take care of myself. That's not selfish. That's, you know, self-love.
Right.
Completely different term. And especially for women, I see this so much that, you know, women by default are givers. We're always giving to our kids, to our parents, to our significant others. And so there's this constant giving of our resources away. And if we don't put that oxygen mask on first, then we will so quickly get out of balance.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yes. A thousand percent.
So if you had for the audience, what would be 3 to 5 calls to action that every single person could do for themselves to get healthier, to have more balance?
So I would say that it's going to be different for each person, depending on where they are at truly, because the stress and the things that we do to ourselves are different depending on, you know, kind of where we are in our lives. But one of the first things I would say is check in with yourself emotionally. And are you being true to and authentic to who you are and to who you want to be? Are you catering to everybody else? Are you looking for making everybody else happy? Do you spend a lot of time deep emotionally connecting to where you want to be? You know, it's so common for, I think, a lot of people, and especially women, to overcompensate, you know, especially as mothers, you know, we try to make sure that everybody else is happy and we're doing everything for everybody, and in that we really neglect ourselves. And I think we need to check in. And if we are dealing with emotional stress, if we have trauma in our lives, whether it be childhood trauma or adult trauma, it can be big traumas or little traumas, you know, our body holds on to that. And while we may be strong and tough mentally and have moved past it, our body could be suffering the consequences and it'll eventually catch up. I think that everybody should be getting some type of, whether it be EMDR, hypnosis, Psych-K, or some type of mental emotional support. There's no shame in it, but it'll actually help you live a much longer, healthier life. That would be one of my big things. And then I would say, you know, we need to eat clean, because, you know, we get stuck in this, should I be a vegan, a vegetarian, a carnivore, a keto, paleo, whatever. The first and foremost important thing is clean. You know, there's a lot of these documentaries that are coming out. I see them on Netflix and I literally want to jump through the TV and scream, because they're like, you can tell where they're going already. Like, oh, this is going to be about veganism or vegetarianism or plant-based or whatever, or carnivore. If they do not start off the documentary with clean eating, and I mean, knowing where your food comes from, all of our foods are being sprayed with tons and tons and tons of ides, you know, these pesticides, herbicides. If it ends with an ide, it's killing it, which means we are now eating that and we're getting all of these chemicals in our body. If they're not starting off talking about the cleanness of the food, knowing where you're getting it from, knowing if that farmer, that rancher, that manufacturer is not putting chemicals in it, then one, don't waste your time on the documentary and really follow your food. Understand where it's coming from and if it has chemicals in it. We need to eat clean because our body, our cells cannot take all of those chemicals. And lastly, I will say, in terms of all of the different things that we can work on for our health, it just really comes down to that self-love and do you love yourself? Because I truly believe in this connection between our cells and our brain, and that they're all talking to each other. You know, there's a lot going on inside our bodies that we take for granted and we don't see, but everything we say to ourselves and about ourselves, our cells hear. And we start with ourselves, right? This is how we developed as a human species, starting with ourselves and with our bacteria, and they're living, breathing organisms. Just because we don't know that they're talking to us and listening to us, they are. And we need to really give them some self-love.
Yeah. And I think a piece of it too is self-awareness, right? Is recognizing the signal of what our body is telling us, and not overriding it, being curious. You know, I thought I was eating mostly, you know, low carb diet. And when I did a 3-day water fast and started actually checking my blood sugar 3 times a day, I was very surprised that I was not ketosis, even though I was eating this low carb diet. So for my body, as you said, everything's unique. When I put whole creamer in my coffee, even though it's, you know, raw, full, you know, whipping cream or full cream, it was raising my blood sugar. Right. It doesn't do that for other people. I know other people who can do it and it doesn't raise it a bit. So, you know, it's interesting just being curious about our bodies and what our body is trying to communicate to us and listening. Yeah. Right. So huge for the healing process.
You know, and you bring up a really good point. Not maybe if we're closing down, we'll close on this. But, you know, I love that everybody is curious and looking for answers, and Facebook and all of these are so incredibly good for that. And there's a lot of good information that you can learn from those. You know, we kind of call it in our world, in the cancer world, the DIY cancer approach. And I think people have to do that, right? We can't say don't do it. People are going to do it because they want to live and they're going to research. What I will say is, if you are on one of those Facebook groups or on one of those groups, for whatever your disease process is, whether it's cancer or anything else, and somebody says, oh, you know, take this because I did this and it worked for me. Remember, right. They are not you.
Yes.
You need to be testing individually. So if somebody says, oh no, everybody needs to do a bulletproof coffee and put heavy whipping cream in their coffee every morning, there's no everybody should do everything approach. There is no one thing is going to be the cure. I don't know if you always get like the apricot seeds, you know, oh, B17, you know, oh, this, it's a C60. These are all miracle drugs. Everybody should take it for the rest of their life. No. I mean, some people should take it, but there's a lot of things. You don't know what else was going on in that person's environment that also caused their healing, which right. is great. Sometimes we want to believe that it's one single thing that cured somebody.
Yeah.
And there's just so much more to it. So
it just never is. We're complex beings, right? And I know when I got sick, and I'm sure you did, I threw everything that I knew that felt right at it. Right. So when people ask me, you know, why are you healthy now? I don't know, for 25 different reasons. I did
right.
25 different things. And I'm sure some of them didn't work and some of them clearly worked, right? And for me, the biggest one was getting off the road, my stress level, just bringing those down, meditating, connecting to my body, that self-love. Those were all huge pieces. And those are free.
Yeah.
They're so awesome thing. It's just your time, right? Your time and your energy.
It's so, the hardest thing though.
It is because you're changing old patterns. You're changing, you know, belief systems. You're changing a lot of things that were indoctrinated in you probably as a child, right? Because we all yeah. inherit our familial patterns and belief systems. And it's interesting because I feel like we're at a time now that we are reconnecting to our ancestral roots. So our ancestors knew where their food came from.
Yeah.
They grew it as a community. They picked it and they shared and celebrated as a community.
So
and
true.
Now 90% of the people that I talk to, they get food from the grocery store, right? They don't know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And that's, again, part of that repatterning, that change is go to your local farmer's market, ask questions. You can talk to them. How do you grow your food? Where do you grow it? You know, and just get that information. And I think that's so important and empowering, right? This is all yeah. about empowering, that we each have the ability to empower ourselves in our healing journey. And it's our unique, specialized journey. And it's not the same as anybody else, regardless of the diagnosis.
So true. So true. Yeah. And there's a lot of online resources as well. I will say Farmers Footprint is building online resources where you can find local farmers and that are not spraying, that are doing the right things, that are low residue, that are doing regenerative farming. So, you know, look for those resources out there and get to know your local resources. And if you can't get them local, you know, everybody says it's so expensive to eat healthy. I will challenge anybody on their grocery bills to show them how to do it less expensive. There's a lot of subscription services you can get for really clean, healthy products, meats, vegetables. And once you start taking out all of the other stuff that's harming you, it balances out the really good nutritious stuff that you're paying for.
Right. Well, I am so grateful for you to be here. Thank you. Yes. I know you're used to being behind the scenes, but I feel like your voice needs to be heard. You have so much valuable information and you know so much about the healing journey. So thank you for joining me here.
Thank you, everyone, Cindy Kennedy,
and she is one of the co-founders of the Metabolic Terrain Institute of Health, MTIH.org, to go find more. And any last words that you'd like to share?
Thank you for having me, and thank you for what you're doing and getting the message out there, because this is so, so important. And I believe that this is how we change the standard of care, is by empowering each and every one of us. You don't have to be a doctor. You just have to be curious.
Absolutely. So,
thank you.
Thank you.